Hello, gorgeous. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Jessica Harlow podcast. Before we get into this week's episode, I want to thank all of you that took the time out to tell me how much you enjoyed last week's. The amount of you that shared it on social media, it really meant a lot to me, especially after all of this time. You know, there's always that worry when you put stuff out that maybe it won't be liked. And, you know, we're all our own worst critics at times. I know that I am. I was very, very nervous about putting something out and getting back into the swing of things, especially since, you know, I tend to go off on tangents and I get a little pissed off these days. Look, without going into like an Oscar speech, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you found value and entertainment in last week's episode, that it got you thinking, that it maybe made you laugh at some points. That's all I can ever hope for and all I can ever hope to continue to be able to do for you. So I started out last week's episode with a whole long disclaimer saying that if you're easily offended, if you don't have a sense of humor, you're overly sensitive to thoughts and ideas that aren't in line with your own, if you can't handle opposing information, to just get the fuck off the podcast. This week, though, that was then, this is now. This week, I'm feeling a little bit adventurous. And, you know, maybe some of you would use the word inclusive. Oh, God, so politically correct of me. I would never say that. I'm not going to tell you to get off the podcast this week. Actually, I'm going to tell you to stay, get yourself comfortable. Maybe there's the off chance I might say something that'll piss you off. So maybe just fluff your, you know, pillows in your safe space just in case I have you running in there. All right, I'm done joking. But I am hoping that some of you who might be a little bit more sensitive or are maybe dealing with people who are more sensitive might get something valuable out of this week's episode. So obviously we're living in stressful times. I don't think all of us are aware of just how much stress we hold in our bodies. Go figure, something emotional and psychological can have an impact on your physical body. Isn't that crazy? I've known this for almost ever, and it still amazes me as if it's the first time I'm finding it out. But I want you to bring your attention to your body right now. Okay. You know, notice where there might be some tension if you're holding your breath. Sometimes, like, I hold my breath for no reason. I have no idea. I catch myself randomly. But let's take a nice deep breath. Okay. In through the nostrils and out through the mouth. Let's do one more time, really filling up the lungs. Let your stomach expand a bit. Don't be shy. And exhale. You know, let's bring down our nervous systems a little bit and just really relax. You know, relax your forehead. Take your tongue off of the roof of your mouth. Loosen your jaw. Drop your shoulders. Let's do one more deep breath right in through the nose. Hold for a few seconds and exhale. Very nice. Don't you already notice how much better that feels? Don't you feel better instantly when you do this? So I try to do this as often as I can remember throughout the day. I can't tell you how many times I catch myself clenching my jaw or my shoulders are up to my ears. Sometimes I'm holding my breath for no reason. Let's remember to relax. Pay attention to your body. This is something we really ignore a lot, especially in our modern times. We're like all huddled over our phones, clutching onto them for dear life. But anyway, now that we're nice and relaxed, let's talk about triggers. So we're all human and we've all got triggers. Our triggers may be a little bit different from each other or a lot different from each other because there's no two people on earth who have had the same exact life experience. I mean, you could even have two people who were raised in the same household and they'll have a completely different perspective, even though they witnessed all of the same things. I know that a lot of you have siblings. You could probably relate to this. They might have a very different idea of your upbringing, a different perspective, and you have a completely different one, and you think that they're, you know, you think each other's absolutely out of their minds, right? It happens. So imagine how that is. If that can happen in a household, imagine what it must be like in the actual world, okay? And speaking of life experience, I feel like in a way when people get angry at others for having a different point of view or a different perspective, different opinions, it's almost as if they are demanding that the other person have the same life experiences that they have or as anyone else. You know, it's coming from a very controlling place. You have to see what I see and come up with the same exact opinion as me, the same conclusion. You have to abandon your life and come and live mine. It's very forceful and it's very repellent. Nobody wants to do what they have to do. Nobody wants to do what someone else is forcing them to do. In fact, if you're anything like me, just because you're telling me to do something that I didn't even come close to thinking up on my own, but even if I did, I suddenly don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it just out of the principle of how dare you? How dare you ask me to do something? It's human nature. That's how most people are. You know, just because you're telling me I have to, now I don't want to. A lot of people can relate to that. It's why suggestions tend to keep people happier. If something is suggested, that's fine. I have my choice. But if it's pushed, if it's forced, if it's coerced, if I feel like you're not giving me any other options, I want to be as far away from it as humanly possible. Does this remind you of anything these days? Anyway, we're not going to go there. In the last episode, I discussed that things have obviously gotten crazy as far as sharing ideas and perspectives and asking questions, and it seems almost impossible to even have an open dialogue with people anymore. It's as though every time we open our mouths, just before we're about to say something, or just as we're saying something, we realize we have to go into a whole long disclaimer, and nobody's got time for that. And nobody should actually ever make time for that. Because some things that like people are explaining should not need to be explained. Again, it depends, know your audience. It's become almost expected that people are going to have to explain their explanation of their explanation of their explanation. And it's just like, I would just want to know what the fuck you think first. You know what I mean? Like, we can go into the details and the what ifs and what about, like, after we get to it. Can I remind everyone that we're adults? That we're adults? We might not try to look like it. And sometimes we might not even act like we are, but we are. If you have adult responsibilities, you're an adult. If you have bills to pay, work, a family to raise and support, yourself to support, and sometimes even raise, you're an adult. You know, I refuse to play the politically correct game because I'm not going to participate in treating adults, grown people, with kid gloves. That doesn't mean you have to be rude, disrespectful, mean to people. But I mean, it's like, we're not going to go out of our way just to deal with other people. Like, we have our own problems. Everybody's got their own sets of issues. Nobody on earth is being handed, well, not nobody on earth, but most people on earth, nobody's really being handed anything on a silver platter. Nobody's really being handed anything like super easy. Everybody's got their shit to deal with. And to them, it feels like a mountain because everyone deals with what they're used to dealing with. Everyone gets this really bad advice these days. I feel like I've heard this a million times in the spiritual community, psychological kind of communities, to avoid triggers, to avoid anything that doesn't make them feel like whatever it is that they're doing, whatever makes sense to them, isn't the absolute right decision, the absolute right choice. It's like putting on blinders and covering your ears and just doing what it is that you think is right and ignoring absolutely anything that ever challenges it, and therefore never knowing how to handle that when it happens. To make this a little bit more relatable so you can get a picture of what I'm talking about, like, I'm sure you've heard the tip to unfollow every single account on social media that makes you feel bad about yourself. Now, most people do this already, and you know, everybody has the free will and the freedom to do so. No one is, I haven't heard of it yet. the year is young. But no one is holding a gun to your head to continue following and consuming any type of content. You're always able to opt out whenever you decide. But here's why I think this can be really bad advice, even if it sometimes comes from a good place. If you're constantly finding yourself running away from what triggers you, whether it's an influencer with a seemingly perfect life, the coworker who used to be maybe an intern and is climbing up the ladder past your position, outperforming you, the friend or the family member who has different political views than you, the person from high school who was doing whatever now, the ex that's moved on, whatever it is, there's a number of different things and people and types of content that can really trigger us. You get the idea. And yes, There are exceptions, of course, which we'll clarify in a second. Hold on. We'll explain the explanation. We'll get to it. Don't worry. I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but we're doing it anyway. But we'll get to it. Just put a pin in that. If you're running from what triggers you, how does that ever help you grow past your triggers? Or wait, don't tell me that you never had plans to grow past them in the first place. Oh, I see. There's so much emphasis on avoiding triggers, or worse, expecting everybody else to bend like pretzels to avoid triggering you, or triggering someone else, or triggering the next person. Think about the audacity of that. Think about the self-righteousness of that. And so many people think this way because things like cancel culture, the rise in politically correct language, propaganda, all that jazz, and we've enabled it. We've really got to ask ourselves, how much good is sheltering ourselves from ever being triggered actually doing for us? How much is it helping us to grow? And how much of it is enabling us to stay stuck? If you're running from your triggers, if you're running from whatever triggers you, how does that ever help you grow past your triggers? Don't tell me that you never had plans to grow past them in the first place. There's so much emphasis being put on avoiding your triggers, but there seems to be no emphasis on how to grow past them so you don't get triggered as often in the future, or you know how to better handle being triggered in the future. Not much of that. Makes you really wonder. I'm going to tell you this. Sheltering yourself for the moment to work on what triggers you can be immensely helpful. I think it can be very necessary. It's a great first step, but too many people are treating it as if it's the only step. And then they wonder why. Why are they miserable? Why is nothing really changing? Why aren't their lives getting better? I mean, it's almost as if everything is based on whether or not their feelings are hurt. There's a lot more to life than not getting your feelings hurt. In fact, it can become very counterproductive. Pulling back when you're triggered to do some introspection, to get to the bottom of why you feel the way that you do, why whatever it was that bothered you actually bothers you, why it really bothers you, and working on that. Pulling away from your triggers in that case can be an almost essential first step. But to just remove yourself without ever doing the work and assuming that you're perfect as you are, in the sense of that your perspective is absolutely superior, or even perhaps worse, that you are a victim and need to be tiptoed around indefinitely or forever, and hopefully one day everyone will behave in a way that won't trigger you at all. Oh, honey. You are not a victim. And I know this is going to trigger people because there's people who are so married to this idea of themselves. When I say this, I don't mean you haven't been through things. I don't mean that you haven't, that you're not right, okay? That you're not correct about certain things, that you're not, that your experience is invalidated in any way. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Let me explain. Let's say something happens, something occurs, right? After a point, a very short point after that, you are the only one who is victimizing yourself. Meaning, oh my God, did she just say that? How could she? She's so Listen, I'm actually very sensitive. I'm so sensitive to what it feels like to feel like a victim, to feel like less than, that I am telling you that as soon as you can mentally and emotionally divorce yourself from having that label on yourself or that vibe on yourself and from acting from that place, whether on a conscious or subconscious level, the better it will be for you. It is probably one of the best gifts that you could ever give to yourself, and you won't really understand it until you do it. Okay? But what I'm trying to get at, so we're not taking like forever and a day, is you're a victim in the moment. In a moment, you know, someone can come along and do something absolutely terrible towards you. In that moment, yes, you are a victim. In that isolated event, I mean, of course, there's someone who does something to someone else. The person who it's done to is the victim, you know, in that isolated event. And of course, you know, there's a ripple effect after the event that can last for an amount of time. And it can affect different areas of your life. And at that point, you're still a victim, but it's more of like you're a victim out of technicality. You don't necessarily need to still be in that, like, you're not, it's not that something happens to you and you're stuck there forever, is what I'm trying to say. I feel like people develop this kind of victim mentality in all kinds of ways, and they almost like cling to it like it's like their job title or something. They cling to it like it's their name. And there are people who really adopt this sort of thinking without even really realizing it. Hold on. I could sense people are getting mad. I'm getting to a point. Just stick with me. I said, look, you're going to be triggered a little bit in this episode, possibly, potentially, but I'm telling you, your triggers are good because they help you learn. Being a victim as like a life role is something that I see happen very frequently in sometimes spiritual spaces, self-help spaces, religious spaces, even therapy. And it spills out into so many other things, you know, like feminism, for example. We have women doing literally everything these days. There's not a corner that women aren't doing stuff in. And yet there's still so many who are screaming like there's still a glass ceiling, as if no progress has been made. Guys, there is no glass ceiling. It's been shattered from a very, very, very long time ago. There is not a thing on earth that I can't do, especially in the United States, because I'm a woman. Literally, anything I can't do is just because I either don't know how to do something. Maybe I don't know certain people. Maybe I lack a specific skill. Haven't put the time into learning a specific skill, whatever. But my point is, my vagina and my fallopian tubes are not a factor. Even if there's people who think that they are, doesn't make it true. Or even people who believe that's true for them, doesn't make it true. Get what I'm saying? The point I'm making is, who benefits from you being in a victimhood mentality? Because if it wasn't for people identifying, whether consciously or maybe like on a subconscious level, without giving it a name, identifying as a victim, do you know how many businesses would crumble? Do you know how many people would lose power, influence, pull over people? Who benefits from you being in a victimhood mentality and being in the headspace of, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, I can never, I'll never be able to do this or have that? Guess what? It's never you who benefits. And yes, there is always someone else who benefits from you continuing to disempower yourself, by continuing to own that victim identity, to continue to embody it, to continue to think from that place. There is always going to be someone else that will benefit from you viewing yourself as a victim, from you holding yourself back because you think that you're not worthy enough, you're not good enough, you're not going to be able to pass any kind of level because of whatever you're telling yourself about yourself, or whatever you've allowed someone else to tell you about yourself that limits your view of yourself, that makes you, that disempowers you. Having that mentality can benefit other people because you're just making room for them. You're making room for someone who doesn't have that mentality, or someone who is maybe has that mentality, but is working past it anyway. They're choosing to work past it anyway. You're just making more room for them. Having that victim mentality can literally benefit others just by simply making more room for them, because you're not participating, because you're not adding, because you're not showing up. You're holding yourself back. Do you know how many people are successful simply because they took chances that other people were unwilling to? That's pretty much all the time. Imagine if, think of any successful person that you know, imagine if they continued to hold themselves back. You wouldn't even know their names, but you would know someone else's. When you start to step back and say, wait a minute, who benefits from me continuing to view myself as weaker, as less capable, stuck, hopeless? It becomes easier to drop that idea of yourself. It can happen overnight. Sometimes it doesn't. But it can happen overnight. You know, it can happen in a second. You know, sometimes people think that change is something that takes forever. Really, change can start in an instant. It doesn't have to take forever. Sometimes it can happen overnight. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we spend the rest of our lives noticing more and more where we are behaving like victims or less than by subconsciously giving our power away. And that's really where victimhood comes from. It's that helplessness means that you are disempowering yourself. You are giving your power away to something, someone. It could be something that's not even a thing or a person. It could be an idea. It could be something that you can't even really put into words. Everyone has their shit, and we can argue until the cows come home about whose life is worse, who had it worse. But honestly, what would that do for us? Mostly, it's just going to waste a lot of time that could be better spent focusing on now what. The thing that would threaten most people is if a number of people who used to have a victim mentality just decided, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to focus on becoming a victor. Do you know how many businesses, again, how many businesses, how many people would lose power, would lose money? A lot. Gets you thinking, what is your victimhood narrative funding? I truly believe that anyone can achieve absolutely anything that they set their minds to, regardless of whatever has happened to them in their lives, or even whatever hasn't happened in their lives, because it can go both ways. You know, we're human, we want quick fixes, but we do have to trust the process. So as I was saying, the avoiding of triggers, it does nothing for our growth. And really, isn't that the goal? Isn't the goal to get better and become better and get better and become better and continue to get better and become better? Not to say that it's always a linear thing. Sometimes we take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back, and then we take 5 steps forward. Again, the process can look different from person to person, from life to life, circumstance to circumstance. You can't really do that, though, if you're running from the triggers for the sake of running from them, for the sake of trying to never get hurt, trying to avoid ever having to deal with them, trying to avoid being disappointed, trying to avoid being challenged. I really wish it was that simple. I really wish it was as simple as just avoiding, but it isn't. Everything catches up with us. Now, back to what I was saying when I said I was going to clarify some things. To clarify, I'm not saying don't cut people off who are cruel to you, who are abusive to you. I'm not saying to not distance yourself from people who don't have the best intentions. I'm not saying to not remove yourself from situations where people are really hurting you. Not at all. That's not at all what I'm saying. I think it's crucial to do that for your own safety, for your own well-being, for your own sanity. Absolutely 100%. But what I'm talking about is know the difference between the triggers that can help you grow and the triggers that are alarms for, hey, this isn't the right person for you to continue to give your time and energy to. Hey, this is a waste of time. Hey, this is not going in a good direction. Hey, this person wants to hurt you. Hey, this just isn't a good person. This isn't a healthy environment. This isn't the best use of your time. Know the difference. Now, that being said, I'm going to give you 2 examples of what triggers might benefit you to challenge yourself to lean into and look at with more of a, what can I learn here? Okay, challenges. Challenges are a good thing. Challenges help you grow. They help you strengthen your opinion, or maybe you learn something that you didn't know before, or what you may not have thought about or considered. Please don't go into arguments if you're unwilling to look at the other side at all, or if you are just going to completely shit on it. Like, if you do that, you're an idiot, and no one should waste their time talking to you. I wouldn't, and I don't anymore. Don't waste time with people where, you know, like data offends them. Like, no, motherfuckers, we're going to look at data. We're also going to look at and consider, you know, how the data could be manipulated, because this happens a lot. A book that I would recommend reading that, you know, a guy named Bill Gates really recommends is How to Lie with Statistics. You might learn something. You might learn a lot of things that might piss you off, as they should. Back to triggers. Triggers that challenge your argument in the end. They may strengthen your argument, or they may even change your opinion. Oh my God, did you hear that? Did you know how many people are afraid to change their opinions? A lot of people. We've probably met a lot of these people. They wouldn't know how to handle it. What would people say? How can I change my mind? You know, sometimes people really identify with, we're kind of like pack animals. We, you know, we have like our tribes in a sense. and people identify with different groups of people. It's very hard. You won't find very many people who are able to stand on their own comfortably and even be, you know, a voice that doesn't always follow in line with their tribe and their pack. So they are scared. A lot of people are scared. It takes balls to change your mind. I've changed my mind a number of times and a number of opinions. You know, my opinion on things 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, last week, whatever, can be leaps and bounds and have become leaps and bounds different from the ones that I used to have. Do you know why? Because I'm open to having my opinion changed. That's what all the smartest people, I'm not saying I'm like the smartest person on the planet, but something that I've noticed from a very long time ago is the people that I consider to be really intelligent, a lot of the times what was very common amongst all of them was they were open to having their beliefs changed, open to having their thoughts changed. They were open. They weren't approaching things with, oh my God, this might change what I think, and therefore I can't even engage with it. I can't even contemplate it. No, they were curious. Curiosity is a sign of intelligence. People who aren't curious, I don't know them. So much of the time, what happens is people approach things with, I want to be right, instead of approaching with, I want to understand something better. I want to, you know, whether that means I'm going to come out with my argument strengthened because I'm going to learn something or think about something that I didn't previously know how to defend or didn't think about. But they're not going in with, I'm going to be right and I'm going to beat this person in this argument. Like, who does that? Like, this isn't a presidential debate. And yet so many people treat everyday conversations like that. Like, relax, Susan, you're not running for office. Can we have a conversation here? So the triggers that open you up to looking at what you might not want to look at about yourself or your thoughts, your beliefs, those are generally good triggers. And even if they don't change your opinion, because they don't have to, sometimes your opinion might be a really good one, you know, they help to strengthen it because you're not blindsided or unable to give a thoughtful response in return to someone, you know, saying something else or asking you a simple fucking question. You know, this isn't about arguing with nut jobs on the internet. If, you know, people on the internet, I don't even know what to tell you. Most of them are completely incapable. They just call each other names. And honestly, like, they're idiots. Like, if you have to talk down to someone to make your argument feel superior to theirs, I mean, you're really not doing such a great job. We don't waste time with idiots. I gotta say, don't waste time with idiots. And there's a lot of them. The other trigger that's a really good one goes back to what I was saying that I was seeing a lot of in, you know, the self-help space, spiritual communities, therapy, etc. The recommendation to unfollow accounts that trigger you, that upset you, people who live seemingly perfect lives, unfollow them. I mean, yeah, you could unfollow, but you should be unfollowing for the right reasons. You know, if it's something where you're like, this doesn't align with what I want for myself or what I value, fine. If like the majority of it just doesn't make sense for you, that's fine. But this is also why it's so important to get clear with yourself about who you are, what you want, and what you don't want, and why you want it. Okay, we all want things in life. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, like, is it because you think you should want whatever it is, or because it is what you actually want for yourself? Or another point is, if you're one of those people who's like almost lying to yourselves, like, this is what I get very worried about. And this is what worries me about the advice to unfollow people who quote unquote trigger you. A lot of the times what happens is people lie to themselves and they try telling themselves that they don't want something because they think that they can't have it themselves. So really ask yourself, when you say you don't want something, like you see somebody who's living a great life or whatever, and you're just like, well, I don't want any of those things, this and that. Ask yourself if it's because you really don't want it, because you've done the work and you realize, yeah, this isn't really that important to me now that I really think about it. Or is it because you think that you can't have it yourself? That's something that we can do a lot as human beings. It happens a lot with people. I've seen it. I've seen other people do it. I've seen myself do it. You know, we might want something, but deep down, we don't think that we could ever have it or that we deserve it. So we talk ourselves out of wanting the thing. So that way we can be like, I only don't have it because I don't want it. Obviously, that can be true. I've chased after things and then either got them or got close enough where I was just like, oh no, this is not it. This is not, nope, not for me. What was I thinking? You know, that happens. That's part of life. But I want to say that it's safe to want things. I'm not saying what you want should absolutely consume you to the point of you feel like you'd rather die if you don't have it. That's not really for everyone. It does work for some people. That mentality does work for some people. Maybe it works for you. But what I'm saying is it's safe to want things, even the things you think that you can't have or don't deserve. I'm going to say that again. It is safe to want things, whatever they may be, even if they are things that you think currently deep down that you can't have them or somehow don't deserve them or somehow aren't good enough. In fact, I would say what you should be focusing on in those situations is, why do you think you can't? Why do you think you can't have those things? And why do you think you don't deserve it? And really look at those things and unpack those things and work on disproving those things to yourself. Because sometimes when you really like get down to it, you look at these weird thoughts in your head, these weird beliefs that you were holding on to. And when you really break it down to the why and where did this come from? And is that even true? And would I ever tell somebody in the same position this like that they're not worthy? You really realize how stupid we can be without even really realizing it. Because sometimes these reasons that we give ourselves for why we're not good enough, so stupid when you really look at them. There are things that like if someone else in a similar position thought that they weren't worthy, we'd be like, oh my God, how could you say that? How could you say you're not worthy? Like there's so many people who have had even less and were able to have XYZ. There's clues everywhere of people who have had it worse off and still managed. You know, people who maybe weren't as good as others, maybe weren't as talented as others, maybe didn't have XYZ enough or as much as others, and they still thought, oh, that's for me. And they had the audacity to go for it and the audacity to claim it. That's healthy. That's how we're supposed to think. I always say, you know, it's really weird how we downplay ourselves so much, and yet there's always going to be people better than us at a number of things or in a number of different ways. But there's also people much worse than us who are doing more than us. It's the truth. If we were to really look at it, it's the truth. And that, you know, it shouldn't upset you. Well, it could get you a little mad, which maybe, you know, you can use for good, but for your own good, and use as fuel and inspiration and encouragement, actually. Sometimes there's no greater encouragement than somebody dumber than you or less talented than you succeeding. It's like, well, if they can do it. And look, that's, we all think that way. I know it's not like popular to say out loud, but we all have a little of that in us. I think we're human. But really, what is the alternative to, you know, having the audacity to say, oh yes, I can? Like, what's the alternative? Woe is me. I'm so incapable. I need someone to help me feel better about how incapable I feel. Let me buy this or that and, you know, join these groups and this and allow myself to continue to be held back and find other people who think just as lowly of themselves and bond with them so I feel like I belong somewhere. Let me continue to numb myself and distract myself with completely unrelated things that help absolutely everyone else get more of what they want and what they have decided they are good enough for, instead of allowing myself the space to say yes to myself more, instead of coming up with all these reasons why I have to keep saying no or why so many other things are telling me no. Like, sometimes we reject ourselves on behalf of other people, other industries, other things that we want. It's wild. And really think about it. Who benefits? It's never you until you decide to turn it all upside down. Sometimes people and life and circumstances are going to serve you victimhood and things that keep you in victimhood on a platter. They'll present it all nice and pretty and make you feel so seen. And yet, you could still flip that fucking table and get up and make yourself something better. Something that actually nourishes you, that actually empowers you, that actually gives you energy. That's always an option. You have to stop running from your triggers and instead lean into them. lean into them through the lens of, what is this triggering inside of me? Why does this bother me? What am I telling myself about myself that would make this bother me or allow this the room and the ability to even bother me? What did I unconsciously accept about myself that I maybe didn't put into words before? What am I not looking at? What am I ignoring? What disempowering beliefs am I ignoring? What are the things that I think about myself that I don't want to tell people out loud? These questions can really help you to get so clear about your bullshit, because the vast majority of it is bullshit. I'm not going to say that there's not some truth. There might be some truth. You know, there might be some truth to something about you or your life. But does it really mean you can't be what you would love to be? Does it really mean you can't have what you would love to have? Does it mean you have to keep denying yourself and pretending and living a lie that you don't want the things that you want? When you're running from your triggers, you're essentially running from yourself, or at least you're trying to, and you can never outrun yourself. Everywhere you go, you're bringing yourself with you. You is coming along. And the people that enable you and encourage you to keep abandoning yourself and running away from those triggers, what they're really doing is they're encouraging you to keep running away from your own growth and your own improvement. Why? Why would they do that? And sometimes they're not doing it consciously. Again, a lot of what people do is subconscious. They might not even realize what they're doing. But why would they do it? Well, deep down, it's because, let's say on the micro, when your friends are doing that, your family members are doing that, people around you are doing that, they're helping you do that because it keeps them comfortable. Most people don't want you to get better than them. Even if they don't admit it, even if they're not really like fully aware of it, they don't want you to get better than them. So they'll encourage you to do things that keep you at just the same level as them. And it's sad, but true. Most people don't want you to ever realize your power and your potential. And if they do, it's usually like up to a point. Why? Because, you know, at the same time, we're pack animals and people are worried that you might outgrow them. And you might. I mean, if you had a victim mentality, whether consciously or unconsciously, and we all have a little bit of it, if and when you outgrow it, you do tend to outgrow people and situations and lifestyles. This is why I say, really ask yourself, who benefits from you shrinking yourself into the box of a victim? Because it for sure isn't you. You deserve a lot better. Life is triggering, but it's here to serve you. And by that, I mean, it's here to teach you. It's why the same patterns eventually keep finding you until you break them. Like I said, you keep running from triggers, you're running from yourself, but you can't outrun yourself. You're always going to catch up with yourself. You will always be subconsciously drawn to and attracted to similar circumstances that you kept trying to run from until you actually break the patterns. How do you break the pattern? First, you have to realize it is a pattern. You have to identify it. But then it's not so much by focusing on everything that's going on around you, but by turning your focus inward to what's going on within you, what you've been allowing to grow and fester within you, to really look at it. And honestly, you're not really going to be seeing this if you're constantly distracting yourself. You really need, this is why it's so important to like disconnect a little bit, disconnect from your distractions, whether it is, you know, social media, TV, Netflix, whatever, my other people. You have to make time for alone time. It's so, so important. The point is, your triggers are teachers, and being triggered is not a bad thing. It's actually an opportunity for you to grow and learn. And that's what makes you a much more effective leader in your own life. And isn't that the whole point of everything that we do? Isn't that the whole point, to become more able and more capable in directing our own lives in the best possible direction for us from wherever we're at and wherever we end up and so on, to really get clear about what it is that we really want and to dismantle literally everything within us that makes us think that we're unable, so that we can remember that actually these are all lies that we tell ourselves. that it's really all about our perspective and how we show up in the world. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I hope that it gave you something to think about. I'm glad that I wasn't angry in this episode because I was a little bit worried last week because I was going off on a few tangents. But I hope you got something out of this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, please give it a rating and a review on iTunes. It really helps the show to grow. Let me know what you think. DM me. Feel free to share the episode out on your social media or with a friend if you feel so inclined. And as always, I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.